A member of the Coca-Cola Racing family takes home the big prize at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. We'll be joined by the winner of the Coca-Cola 600 on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
In a weekend that was devoted to remembrance, it went two ways. One was for Kyle Busch. Obviously, the specter of his death hung over Charlotte Motor Speedway for most of the weekend. And in a very solemn ceremony to open the Coca-Cola 600 dedicated to the troops that have made the ultimate sacrifice. But in the end, it was a very joyful Daniel Suarez that wound up in the Coca-Cola 600 victory lane.
Daniel Suarez is the winner of the Coca-Cola 600. He leans against his race car with his team, crying here at Charlotte Motor Speedway as he is now a winner. Suarez puts on the number 8 hat of Kyle Busch, one of his former teammates and mentors, as Daniel Suarez was coming up not only through stock car racing, but in America and learning the English language. He gives his wife, Julie Piquet, a big hug. They are expecting parents. And what an amazing finish here for Daniel Suarez in the Coca-Cola 600.
Daniel Suarez on pit road got congratulations from Bubba Wallace. And when Bubba said congratulations, you pointed to your hat. And what did you say?
It's very special. Every win is special, but this one, it's been a tough week for the entire industry. And long nights praying, crying, praying for Samantha, praying for Brexton, praying for Lennox. And to be able to win this race for Kyle, I would say this is definitely on top of the list of the most special wins of my career.
And Daniel Suarez, when it was officially declared after the reins hit and he was the leader, he broke down and he started crying. And it wasn't as much because he won the Coca-Cola 600, Alexis. It was because he won it and he was able to dedicate it to Kyle Busch, a guy that helped make his career possible.
Yeah, I mean, you could see in that moment, you know, it was relief, I think, to him that he was able to be the guy to get the win this weekend. It meant a lot to him. Obviously had a tremendous relationship with Kyle Busch, was the guy who helped him. He credited him for getting the ride in the Xfinity Series at the time, and then obviously became teammates with Kyle Busch at Joe Gibbs Racing later down the line. And so there's a long history there, a long relationship that those two had. And so it was a very, very special moment for him and for his wife, Julia.
David Styles, in a weekend that had a lot of sadness, a lot of crying, very emotional weekend here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, I felt like it ended on a joyous note.
Definitely, and Suarez didn't just back into this thing either. He went out there and earned it. It was tumultuous with a lightning delay, and then we had a little bit of rain, and that ultimately ended the race, but he was able to hold off a late charge from Christopher Bell, who was very good, and also Denny Hamlin, on two tires, and he is now a Coca-Cola 600 champion, and that's a crown jewel in this sport, and this race means so much to so many people, especially on the Memorial Day weekend.
I was working in the PA booth for this race, and I'm thinking when it came down to it, he had two tires, as far as fresh tires, versus Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, who are on four fresh tires. And I'm thinking, he is the proverbial sitting duck. When they drop the green, they're going to blow around him. He got a great restart, got away from everybody. And then even when they closed in on him together, Alexis, he ran the track. He was the guy that was controlling the race long enough that they got to the last yellow because of the rain. And then it really hit, and he was declared the winner. There was no flukiness to this at all.
You're certainly not the only one that thought that he was a sitting duck, because I certainly did as well. I mean, you have those two tires, but you also have a very hard-charging Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, who were very dominant, you know, for a lot of this race. And so you thought, well, two tires, you know, you have these two Toyotas behind him that were going to be coming quick. There was a time when they split him, and I thought, well, that's it for him. But he was able to recover and regain the lead back and keep it from that point on, and it really was an impressive run.
And one of those things that we're not mentioning just yet until now, Kyle Larson gave him a great shot on the restart, which put him out in front. And who was the first person to come congratulate him after they called the race? It was the five of Kyle Larson.
I think part of that is nobody, I don't think, has a grudge against Daniel Suarez. And also, that was two Chevrolets in a sea of Toyotas up front. And I also think, selfishly, Larson thought, he's sitting there with two fresh tires. I've got four. I'll get him to the front. Then I'll go get him.
Sure.
And I'll drive on and win the Coca-Cola 600. So there was a little double messaging there. Another thing that happened in this race that I found really odd, you mentioned Larson. He was a factor. Tyler Reddick, a big factor, led a lot of laps. Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, who crashed out late in the race, and Shane Van Gisbergen all took time at the front of this race, throughout this race. And I was thinking, well, it's going to be a Toyota. It's going to be one of those. And in the end, Alexis, everybody was behind Daniel Suarez, but he was always kind of in the picture tonight.
You know, I think that's kind of what happens a lot when we run this Coca-Cola 600. We have had years where a driver has gotten out and kept the lead the whole entire time. You know, Martin Truex Jr. comes to mind. Yes. I think the year he led almost every single lap and ran away with it. But a lot of times there are comers and goers, and that happened tonight as well. You had times when you had Denny Hamlin, who looked really dominant, and Tyler Reddick, who looked really dominant, and Christopher Bell. I mean, you said Shane Van Gisbergen. Who would have thought? You know, when we started this race, yes, the qualifying was set by the metric, and he had a good race at Watkins Glen. He's doing okay in the points, so he had a really good starting spot. But he held that starting spot, and when it was all said and done, he finished 11th. I think a lot of props need to go to that team, too, for that. That is an amazing run for that team.
And they had a chance to win it.
Yes, they did.
If the weather would have broke the right way.
Sure.
They were off on their pit strategy. They didn't have the fuel. And there for a second, it's like, man, if it rains at the right time, Shane Van Gisbergen may win this thing.
He could have stole one,
but at the same time, Ty Gibbs was also very good this evening in the Coca-Cola 600, and he was on that same strategy.
He was always in play all night long. I left him out of my list. I shouldn't have, but the 54 of Ty Gibbs was always in the picture.
Can I just say that when we talk about a race like this and we name, what do we have, half a dozen or more guys that
that's
we talk
good.
About, that's indicative of the fact that we had a really good race.
Yeah.
I think the race as a whole, even though you had some stoppages and you know, you had all of these kind of weird things throughout the weekend, at the end of the day, we got a pretty good Coca-Cola 600.
And one of the other things that jumped out in my mind, there was attrition.
Yes.
There were a lot of cars that went behind the wall. Austin Sindick crashed out early.
Huge crash.
Connor Zelich didn't get to the
Chase
end.
Elliott.
Austin Dillon. Chase Elliott. Chase Briscoe. Ross Chastain. All behind the wall. And you know who the benefactor of that was? Catherine Legg.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Catherine Legg wound up, I think she was 31st when the day was done. And I've got to give her props. She had a quick exit at Indy. Not of her own making. I think Ryan Hunter-Reay crashed in front of her. She had nowhere to go. Here, she is in a car that's not, it's one of the weaker cars in the pack. That's just the honest assessment there. She had never been in this car, practiced it, had never, to my knowledge, ever seen Charlotte Motor Speedway until today when she hopped in that car to go racing.
I mean, what she was able to do, look, obviously she was not in great equipment.
No.
There, you know, there were certain factors, but I still think that she should be proud of what she was able to accomplish today, because she did everything she needed to do, in my opinion.
And in her post-race interview, she said, hey, I wish we would have had this car that we had at the end of the race, at the beginning of the race. She says, I felt pretty confident.
Yeah.
At the end, she says, I just wish we would have had this car all night. But we worked on it, and we got it where we wanted.
I mean, she got dropped into this, the coldest of cold. A car that's not as good as most of the other cars on the track. A track that she has never been on. And the first time that she is on it, they're racing.
Yeah.
And it was a race of starts and fits, with more cautions than I thought we might have. And then at the end, whether... Not one race this weekend, not the O'Reilly Auto Parts race or the Craftsman Truck Series race or the Cup race at Charlotte, ended under green or ran the full distance.
And I saw a stat on Twitter. I think that's the first time that's ever happened in the history of NASCAR. So that's pretty incredible.
Distance. I mean, they got fairly close tonight with the Coke 600. I will admit, when it got to lap 200 and they were halfway, I went like, okay, that's good.
A little sigh of relief
from everyone.
We're
not going to be back here the next day racing because nobody wants that. And I know there's going to be a lot of squawking about how this race ended. NASCAR pulled it quick. They don't normally do that, but there was a lot of factors. There's a curfew at 1 a.m. You can't race past that. By then, the track was wet enough. It was going to be a good 2 hours to dry the track. They were never going to get back racing.
Look, I know this for a fact. Whether they had tried to dry the track or did what they decided to do, there would have been squawking. Either way, there would be people, you know, on the internet behind their keyboards thinking they know it better than everybody else. So I personally feel like they made the best decision they could.
What's the old adage? NASCAR fans dislike two things.
Yes.
Change and the way things
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
The way things are.
You're not going to appease everybody.
It was a challenging week on two fronts. One, with the death of Kyle Busch, people came in here physically and mentally wore out already.
Yes.
And two, with weather every day we were on the track. There wasn't hardly any time at all. There was no qualifying for any of the three races. All the races were started with the NASCAR metric system, and no race went the full distance.
The truck race finally went off on its fourth attempt. Its fourth attempt. Incredible.
And the of course, the O'Reilly Auto Parts race ended under a heavy fog mist situation. The track was wet.
Well, and they
there was no race.
They ran the last few of those laps just to get it to the end of the stage under yellow.
And a lot of people said, well, they just did that to get to halfway. Yeah, they did.
They did.
Yes,
that's exactly what they did. But that's better than hanging that race out and having to come back on Monday to maybe finish it. And the weather Monday at Charlotte Motor Speedway looks the worst of all the days. So congratulations. Daniel Suarez, a very worthy winner. That'll be a great story. Of course, the story that was overshadowing almost everything this weekend was the unfortunate passing of Kyle Busch. And the memorials today and the way that NASCAR and the Speedway recognized this were superb. The event that they did before the race that Samantha Busch and his two children, Lennox and Brexton, attended was one of the most emotional things I've ever witnessed. All the drivers were there. Steve O'Donnell read some very, very profound words, and this was all in front of the big 8 number logo that was stenciled in the infield. And I think there were a lot of people at Charlotte Motor Speedway and watching and listening on the radio and watching on television that were in tears. But I want to thank whoever thought of that as one of the tribute pieces. Very, very well done. And speaking of Kyle Busch, our Alexis Erickson had a chance to chat with our Kyle Petty, and they talked about the legacy that was Kyle Busch. That'll be coming up next here on Fast Talk.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing 4 tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Carson Osovar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN pit stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's drag him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
turn number two for the Indianapolis 500 when Scott Dixon soared through the air. I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere. That was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman. A few short days ago, the NASCAR community was devastated by the sudden loss of Kyle Busch after a short illness. I'm Alexis Erickson, and I'm here with Kyle Petty to remember the life and legacy of Kyle Busch. You know, Kyle will surely be remembered as someone who was a hard charger, who was an amazing race car driver with almost God-given skill, a two-time champion, a winner of 234 National Series wins. But his impact in motorsports and beyond is so much more than that, isn't it, Kyle?
I think so. And I don't think a lot of people realized it outside the garage area until his passing. Honestly, I mean, we've heard Joe Gibbs talk about it. We've heard other drivers talk about it. And we've heard other drivers say, I was not a Kyle Busch fan, but this is what he did for me. This is what he did for the sport. And I think it goes back to him having his own team, but it's his passion for the sport. His passion for it. We always took that when he would jump out and get out and finish second and just stand there with that sour look on his face and that attitude that he carried, it's like, man, he's a poor sport. It was really that passion and that love for the sport and winning that we mistook for that sometimes. Although that sour look was there a lot, you know what I mean? And you have to admit that. At the same time, we go back to the guys that drove trucks for him. Listen, Harrison Burton drove some trucks for him. We can go through the garage area and point at crew chiefs and crew members that work for Hendrick, that work for Gibbs, that work at RCR, that work at some of the top teams out here right now, that cut their teeth, that learned how to win, that learned how to race at Kyle Busch Racing. Kyle taught him that. He taught him a way of going and doing it. And at the same time, a lot of these young drivers in the truck series, in the O'Reilly series, he made them be better drivers. He made them up their game to play with him. And then when he wasn't there, they took that game and they won their own races. So listen, his fingerprints are on this sport, and they will be on this sport for years to come because he touched a complete generation of mechanics and drivers.
I've heard so many drivers over the past few days talk about how they don't think that they would be the race car driver they are today if they did not compete on the same racetrack as Kyle Busch. Do you remember, two-part question, do you remember maybe your first encounter with Kyle when he came on the scene in the early 2000s? And what was it like, you know, how much of your careers overlapped? Yeah. And what was it like being with him on the racetrack?
It's a two-part question, really. And I go back to it, and we've talked about it before. There is no Richard Petty without David Pearson. And they made each other be better race car drivers. You look at Earnhardt, and you look at Rusty Wallace, and you look at Jeff Gordon and the rivalries that he had. They made each other be better. Earnhardt had to be better to beat Rusty. Earnhardt had to be better to beat Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon had to be better and up his game to beat Dale Earnhardt Sr. A lot of people had to up their game to beat Kyle Busch. It wasn't just that one off. It wasn't just that one competitor. It was the sport in general. And I go back to it again. It was the truck series. It was the O'Reilly series. It was the Cup series. It was every series that he touched. He made drivers up their game and think about the sport different. Think about how they drove different. And he thought about how he drove different every time he got in a car. So I think when you look at that, And you say, yes, he made the sport better and made people get better because of that. I forgot the second part of your question.
Well, I was curious of when you were first introduced to Kyle Busch.
So here's the thing. So by the time that Kyle Busch came along, I was already a lap car. I will say that. So I was just fodder for him to go around on the outside. I was the Kyle until Kyle came along. That's the way it was. And I think you look at it. Let's go back and let's remember he was going to drive a truck at California, I think, and then they wouldn't let him run because Marlboro was there with the Indy cars. There was some kind of snafu there when he was going to run a Roush truck for the first time. His brother Kurt was already here. Kyle coming along, you look back at the Parsons, you look back at the Waltrips, you look back at the Allisons, and you think, okay, here comes another set of brothers. Little did we know the impact that this set of brothers would have on this sport as far as championships and as far as wins. But when he came out, he was something special right off the bat, right off the bat. And I've been very, very blessed to be around this sport my whole life. Obviously, I grew up in it. My father was racing and winning races and winning championships almost from the time I was born. So I've seen a lot of drivers come and set in cup cars and race. And there's one other driver, Tim Richmond. When Tim Richmond came along, he had so much natural, God-given talent. Without even trying, he could get up off the couch and beat 99% of the people in the field. Kyle Busch was that way from word go. Without even trying, he could beat people. Without even trying, he was as good as we had at that time. Through the years, he perfected that. He learned his craft. He worked at his craft. And he taught other people that craft, but he worked at it and he got better and better and better. And when you look at the numbers he put up in the O'Reilly series, when you look at just a couple of weeks ago, winning his 69th truck race, when you look at 60 plus cup wins and you put that all together, it's phenomenal what he was able to do. Our years did overlap. We never really had a run-in. The only run-in we really had, I will tell you this, the only run-in we ever really had, I was already retired and doing TV, and I had said some stuff, and he didn't like what I said, and that's okay, because most people don't like what I say, and that's okay with me, too. So I was sent to his bus to apologize for some of my comments, and as I walked in, he was sitting in on the couch watching TV, and it was just me and him, and he said, so... You think I shouldn't race on Fridays and Saturdays? And I said, no, I just don't. I don't think you can race on Friday and Saturdays. And he said, well, why do you think I shouldn't race on Friday and Saturdays? And I said, because I think you would be a better driver on Sunday. And I think you're one of the greatest race car drivers I ever saw set in a race car. That's how simple it is. I think you could win more on Sunday if you didn't use yourself up on Friday and Saturday. And he sat there for a minute and he looked at me and he said, I want to still be mad at you. But he said, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. He said, you just think I'm so good that I could be a lot better. And I said, yes. And he said, but racing on Friday and Saturday make me better. And what racing on Friday and Saturday did, they sent his confidence level through the ceiling, because he knew he did it on Friday. He knew he could do it on Saturday. He invented the sweep. He invented the sweep in this sport. So it's funny. He and I, we got along great after that. And listen, over the last year and a half, I've spoken to him, I don't even know how many times, countless times, to say, keep your head up. You're still a great race car driver. You still can go out there and get this done. You know how to drive a race car. You didn't wake up one morning and forget how to drive a race car. It's not showing up in the numbers, but everybody out there knows who you are.
You know, the NASCAR community is they're so good at coming together in moments like this. You know, stories like the one that you just told. I've heard so many Kyle Busch stories over the past few days. Ones I've never heard before. Ones that I heard 10 years ago and I loved hearing again. Yeah. It's those stories that I think are going to help us heal going forward. You know, there's a lot of healing left to do. It's going to be a long road. Someone like yourself who is no stranger to tragedy. When you think about the family, when you think about Samantha and Brexton and Lennox, what is it that they need right now and beyond?
So I will say this, and from walking in kind of these same shoes, and you know, 26 years ago with Adam, and watching other families, watching the Allisons go through it with Davey, watching the Earnhardts go through it with Dale Sr., and you use the correct word, and this is what I try to tell people. The word is community. And that's what motorsports is. Motorsports is a community. It is, we like to think it's the biggest sport in the world and it's the greatest sport in the world and everybody knows about it. But really, in essence, it's a very tight-knit, small community of competitors, of media, of fans, the whole group. At Charlotte Motor Speedway, when you put 70, 80, 100,000 people in the grandstands and all the teams and everybody here, and they're all focused on grief, they're all focused on mourning. The healing process starts there. And it's huge to have that many people with their heads bowed, to have that many people for a moment in silence, to have that many people. There's comfort in that. There's comfort in that community. And I think that's what Samantha and Lennox and we look at Brexton. I think that's what, you know, Gay and what Tom and what Kurt need now is this community. They're friends. They just need somebody to call and say, hey, thinking about you. And the thing is, and I will say this, and this is what is so great about this community, is that's today. That's today. We're sitting here, you know, middle of May. That's today. They'll be here in June. They're going to be here in August. They're going to be here in September. When we roll into 2028, that community's still going to be here. And that's the important time. That's the important time. When you just think everybody's forgetting and somebody comes up and wraps their arm around you and tells you a story or says something, that's the healing process. And that's how it continues. And 26 years later for me, it's still there. It's still happening. It's still continuing that healing process when I talk to guys in the garage area. And that's the way it'll be for Brexton. Someday, he's going to crawl through the window of a number 8 car. If Childress has his way about it and they do that, he's going to crawl through the window and someone's going to lean in and say, I remember when your dad sat in the same seat, and tell him a story. And it will inspire him and help heal him to go do some more.
Well, thank you for being a part of the community. Yeah. I'm, for one, am very proud to be a part of the NASCAR
for sure.
community. And we all are going to continue to heal in the wake of Kyle Busch's passing. We'll be back with more Fast Talk after this.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This July, it's more than a race. It's a full-on, wide-open NASCAR weekend. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, takes over Echo Park Speedway July 11th and 12th. Engines roaring, lights blazing. It's high-speed action on the track and tailgates that turn into stories. All under the lights. Bring your crew, make memories. It's a summer night you won't forget. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Get tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those knotters and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Alexis Erickson here with Kyle Petty as we sit after the Coca-Cola 600. You got to do some really cool things today at Charlotte Motor Speedway in partnership with Coca-Cola. Talk to us about some special things that were on your agenda today.
So I did the Gold Star luncheon in turns 4, I guess, between turn 3 and 4. They have a huge tent up there. Coca-Cola, Charlotte Motor Speedway, USO. All these people, it is phenomenal to have these Gold Star families. And if you watch the race, you saw a name across the hood of all these cars, of a fallen hero, of someone who's not here. And that's what Memorial Day is for us to remember the ones that gave all. And sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes I think we look at it as a military holiday, that type thing. It's not a holiday per se. It's a day of remembrance. It's a day to remember this. And it was so funny that I told him over there when I walked in, and I was able to introduce some of the colonels and the lieutenants and the generals and everybody that were there to speak on behalf. I watched a thing on TV this morning, and it was a gentleman named David Yoho. And I don't know if anybody out there saw this. He's a 98-year-old World War II veteran. And he spoke so eloquently. The rain was pouring down at the memorial that they did yesterday. And he talked about being a 16-year-old boy and going off to war in World War II. He's 98 years old now. And it was phenomenal. And he said something, and it just struck me as I came into to the luncheon today. And he said, "We gave up our yesterdays for all of your tomorrows." And that was fascinating to me, that to say what they gave up. And then I transferred that a little bit farther, and I thought about today, and I thought today was for those who gave up their tomorrows for all of our todays. And that's what Memorial Day is all about, the ones who gave all and did it. And we were there, and the Coca-Cola Racing family was there, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, all those guys came up, spoke, spent some time with all these families. They had their names on the cars, but it is a special, special thing that Marcus Smith, that Charlotte Motor Speedway, that Coca-Cola, and all of them do. And it was just phenomenal. And then later, one of those Gold Star families, or one of those servicemen, we gave a pickup, a Toyota pickup down in Victory Lane. USO and Coca-Cola presented him with a pickup for his heroism, which was just, it just floored him. And that, it was incredible to be a part of those two events today. The race for me was gravy. Okay, because the cake and the icing and everything else there was all about being around those veterans.
You know, we were talking earlier today, everybody with the Performance Racing Network, some folks were talking about what year it is of them coming and being a part of the Coca-Cola 600. I think this is year like 15 for me. Yeah. And what I think about is perspective.
Oh,
this
yeah.
race, this event, all the pageantry, everything that Coca-Cola and Charlotte Motor Speedway and NASCAR does during this event to help us honor and remember really gives you perspective, and I appreciate that so much.
I appreciate it more than people ever know. I think we need those moments of perspective. We've had that with Kyle Busch this week, a moment of perspective. This allows us to take it one step farther. What race, what sporting event, what do you ever go to where right in the middle of the competition, they just stop? They just stop and everyone goes silent. And everyone goes silent for a period of time for that remembrance, to remember why we're here, how we got here, and the freedoms that we have because of those. And then the 250th anniversary birthday of America, it's more important now than ever to take that, to take stock of what that is. And I think the Coca-Cola 600 is the greatest Memorial Day celebration or greatest Memorial Day observance that we have anywhere in this country.
And you talked about that moment of silence. I believe you were in the PRN
yes.
booth when that happened. How was that perspective for you?
Incredible. It is eerie how silent it gets. You take a racetrack with 100+ thousand people in it and all the race cars and everything, and it goes from a million decibels, that feels like, to total silence, and you can hear crickets. And they had the drone light show, which was the American flag, America 250. I mean, it was so patriotic. And at the same time, so reverent. And I think that was the part that you took away from it more than anything else, was just to look out over the grandstands, to look down towards turn one, to look down towards turns four, and to see everybody with their head bowed and everybody really paying attention and focusing on what the moment meant.
Very well said. We will be back with the winner of the Coca-Cola 600 right after this.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice of PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, Doug Rice and Alexis Erickson. Alexis, thanks so much for spending some time with Kyle Petty and getting some great stories out of him. He is just a natural resource for history about this sport.
He's the best storyteller, I think, I know, certainly. And I can sit and talk to him. I mean, you and I do it all the time, before Fast Talk, after Fast Talk. It's a pleasure just to talk to him and get to hear him tell his tales.
And he has been such a part, and his family has been such a part of the sport. There's not hardly anything about NASCAR, almost from its inception, that Kyle's not aware of.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if he were to sit down and put all of the stories that he has in his head to paper, we would probably have a trilogy. It would be a lot.
Well, I'm glad you got to spend some time with Kyle, and thanks a lot, especially the remembrances about Kyle Busch. Now let's move over to another topic. I feel like this is maybe one of the most unsung things in America, is that the fact that on Memorial Day Sunday, that I feel like two of the biggest motorsports events in the world take place back-to-back, the Indianapolis 500, then the Coca-Cola 600. Sometimes you had Monaco, the F1 race, early in the morning, but just the fact that 600, the 500, and they get tied together with people trying to do the double, it's just a great story.
I mean, a lot of people like to call it motorsports Christmas because it is one of the greatest days in motorsports, if not the greatest. You know, you talk about Monaco usually being that morning race. This morning we had a truck race, so we did get three races.
We did.
On motorsports Christmas today.
On that subject, and I saw some people reference this on social media, and I've got to think about it. They really like the idea of having the Sunday morning truck race at Charlotte, taking a break, then coming back and running the 600. It is not the worst idea.
Hey, I could get behind it. The only thing is, if you get into a situation like we really lucked out today when it comes to the weather, we had such crazy weather all weekend long. And today, finally, on the fourth attempt at running that truck race, we were able to get it in. It would be really hard to do if there was any weather situation and that was the first attempt. But for today, I felt like it worked out really well.
And just by the way, in the truck race, they had a hard stop.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Because of time. And there was just no way they could go on and race any further. But interesting setup. And, of course, at the Indy 500, Nick Yeoman, who is the co-anchor for most of the PRN broadcast, he is very loyal to his IndyCar brand. He went up to IMS and called Turn 1 for the greatest spectacle in racing. And let's go ahead and hear how it sounded on IMS Radio, the last lap of this year's Indy 500.
The white flag flies on the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Marcus Armstrong trying to make that car as wide as possible, but he cannot hold off David Malukas. Malukas to the race lead. Rosenquist trying to take second.
Rosenquist on the outside of Marcus Armstrong. That's the battle for second, but David Malukas will lead him down the back straightaway. Said it was a dream to drive for Roger Penske. Will he live reality today and win the 500?
10 years ago, we saw a driver win his first IndyCar race at the Indianapolis 500. Is history about to repeat itself? David Malukas roars his way into turn number four.
Malukas has the lead, but it's close behind. Felix Rosenquist charging out of turn four. Mark James, bring him home.
David Malukas comes off of turn number four for the final time. Felix Rosenquist goes to the outside. We get to the Arden Bridge, and Felix Rosenquist gets him at the start-finish line. Felix Rosenquist with an incredible pass at the start-finish line. He wins the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. David Malukas finishes second. Pato O'Ward is third. Marcus Armstrong is fourth. And Scott McLaughlin completes the top five.
Mark James of IMS Radio with the dramatic call there when Rosenquist wins. I would rather listen to Mark James call a race than eat.
So look, as Doug likes to say, inside baseball is a term I like to use a lot, and I'm going to use it right here. We are recording this after the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday night. It is about 1 o'clock in the morning, and listening to Mark James call of the finish of the Indianapolis 500 was like drinking a 10-gallon Red Bull.
Yeah.
Because that just woke me right up.
Great call there. You knew it would be. The closest finish in the history of the Indianapolis 500. And they've got a lot of history up there.
Yeah.
And it was a race that in some ways was like the 600. A lot of big players taken out with crashes. It thinned out the field. And when they got down to it, they had a one-lap shootout. And that produced a great finish. I love the fact that Indy let them do it that way.
A ton of lead changes in that race. Super exciting. And you're right. I mean, there was a caution with about 8 laps to go. And if they had not put out the red flag, we would not have seen that ending to the race. Most likely would have ended under caution. IndyCar does not have an overtime rule like, you know, the NASCAR Cup Series has. So it was really great that they handled it the way that they did, and we were able to see what ended up being the closest finish in history.
So thanks to our friends at IMS Radio for furnishing the audio. Great call there.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Shane Van Gisbergen for the final time up here in turn number two. He brought a gun to a knife fight today. Gregson around right in the middle of the pack, and he got hammered by Ryan Preece. Brad Keselowski's off into the dirt as well.
The Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, Sunday, June 28th. Tickets at SonomaRaceway.com.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Monza was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Suarez is the winner of the Coca-Cola 600. He leans against his race car with his team, crying here at Charlotte Motor Speedway as he is now a winner. Suarez puts on the number 8 hat of Kyle Busch, one of his former teammates and mentors, as Daniel Suarez was coming up not only through stock car racing, but in America and learning the English language. He gives his wife, Julie Piquet, a big hug. They are expecting parents. And what an amazing finish here for Daniel Suarez in the Coca-Cola 600.
That's how it sounded on the Performance Racing Network. Brad Gilley with the call of Daniel Suarez being announced as the winner of Coca-Cola 600. Daniel is nice enough to join us about 4 hours after the race is actually over and maybe 400 media interviews later. Danielle, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time here on PRN.
Yeah, of course, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I won't lie to you. I'm getting a little hungry now. I think it's dinner time for me. It's almost 2 in the morning, but no, I'm super happy. Obviously, very, very proud of the entire team, Spire Motorsports. This week and weekend, it's been very difficult for the entire industry, and to be able to win for Kyle and for his family, and I got to see Samantha and Brexton and Lennox, Kyle's dad and mom and Kurt for the first time. Literally 5 minutes before I jumped in the car, it was very emotional. I mean, Kyle, obviously he meant a lot to me, because he gave me a hand when I needed it the most. So this win definitely is special for many different reasons, but Kyle is the main one.
You know, you mentioned that very emotional moment before the start of the race that you and all the drivers got to have, and we got to witness 5 minutes before you get into the race car. How do you compartmentalize and get yourself focused to go 600 miles at Charlotte Motor Speedway?
Yeah, it's definitely tricky, right? It's a marathon. For us in the 7 team, it was anything but smooth. You know, we had a loose wheel, we had a flat tire, we had a lot of situations. Stage 1 and stage 2 was a battle. We went a lap down twice, and not because we were slow, just because we had the issues. But we never gave up. We always kept pushing. We always kept our head high. And, we just kept pushing and controlling what we can control. And we knew that there were a few issues here and there with the car. But the car had potential. And I knew that since yesterday. So super proud of the team. Ryan, my engineers. Ryan with that call of 2 tires right there at the end. That was really what put us in contention.
I want to talk about that call because you made the 2-tire call. You come out on the front row for the restart. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not going to last long. Everybody behind you's got 4 tires and really good race cars. Denny Hamlin's back there and Christopher Bell. Describe how you were able to hold these guys at bay and even at one point get out to like what I thought was too big of a lead.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we had a fast car, but we never really got the opportunity to show it. That was the first time that my car felt clean air. And I felt that we had a legit top 5, top 10 car, but we never really put ourselves in that position for all the different issues that we had throughout the race. So it was a little bit difficult. That was the very first time that we had track position. So it was nice. The team did an amazing job. And obviously, those couple of restarts, I felt like I was able to work very well with Larson there to the launch. HMS Power under the hood also helped a lot. And things work out pretty good for us.
So 3rd win of your career, crown jewel, the Coca-Cola 600, you a Coca-Cola racing family driver. Talk about just what this particular race win means.
To me, this is probably the coolest race of the year. And that's just me. And obviously Daytona, and there is a lot of Indianapolis, a lot of crown jewels that they are everything. But for me, being a Coca-Cola racing family member for 10 years now, this race has always meant so much for me. Seeing that vintage cooler, not cooler, like the vintage refrigerator, super cool. The vending machine, I think they call it. And then having my family here, like for me, this is the best weekend of the year. And to be able to celebrate it like this is very special.
You got a nice piece of bling on your right hand now.
Yeah, I got an amazing ring, and it's pretty heavy for me. but yeah, it's good. It's good to show off for a little bit.
It looks like it fits really well.
Yeah. apparently they must have had it sized for you. So does Coke do anything special for you? Do you get like Coca-Cola for life now and never have to pay for it or something? I mean, you got a vending machine. They should at least fill a thing up.
I'm pretty sure we're going to fill it up with some Mexican Coca-Colas and which, have some nice
Alexis
Coca-Cola.
Is a big fan of the Mexican Coke.
Yeah, me too. They're amazing, right?
They are amazing, absolutely. So, you know, there are so many things that the driver, the champion, the Coca-Cola 600 champion gets when winning this race. One of the things I hear, and Doug and I hear, because we talk to the winner after every Coca-Cola 600, is that the entry into that owner champion slot is such a big deal. Is that something that you're like, oh man, I've got that now?
You know what? I mean, it's cool. It's definitely very cool. But to me, the coolest part is the trophy and the vending machine. The vending machine is the one thing that, to me, I've been dreaming about that. I even have a picture because, you know, being part of the Coca-Cola racing family, I'm friends with a lot of people at Coca-Cola. And the last few years before the race, my friend Al Rondon, that he works at Coca-Cola, he sent me a picture when the vending machine is being restored. So I thought it was the coolest thing. You know, I love restoring cars. So, you know, a vending machine in a way is kind of similar. So I have a lot of respect for vintage things.
That is the most Daniel Suarez thing I've ever heard, you know, that you're excited about getting a vending machine. And I think that's really cool. How are you feeling right now? It's been 3 hours since the race was over. Has it all soaked in? Have you been able to absorb all of this emotionally?
I think slowly it's getting there. Slowly it's definitely getting there. And I'm just very happy. I feel very blessed to be here. My family, my team, the Coca-Cola 600, in a very, very special week and weekend, remembering Cal. I feel like I'm living a dream right now. And I'm quite hungry, so I'm looking forward to have some dinner.
We're going to get you out of here in just a minute.
I have one more question, You were so excited about that Coca-Cola vending machine. You've got to know where you're going to put it, right?
I already have a place.
Okay.
I have a place. I mentioned that to my wife, actually, a few days ago. We're in the garage, because I have a big garage. Not like a regular car garage, but like a big, I have like 15 cars in there. And I have all my trophies and some of the special fire suits and things like that. And literally, 4 days ago, I was telling Julia, hey, when we win on the weekend, where are we going to put the vending machine? And Julia and I were actually talking about a couple of different spots. So I'm so glad that we have that problem now.
All right, a two-part question here. Actually, one's a statement, one's a question. When they threw the yellow for the last time and you guys pulled down and you're sitting there on pit road, are you thinking it really needs to rain?
Well, when they threw the caution the first time, I thought it was enough rain for them to have to ride the track.
Right.
And then, you know, we went again, and I was like, let's go. And I was mad at that point because I knew that the racer wasn't 100%, but I said, let's go. They're not going to give it to us. Let's go fight for it. I was ready. And the second time when we got pretty wet, I'm like, okay, I already proved them in a couple of races that I was competitive. I think it's time for these guys to do something about this water. I mean, no, and it was a lot of water. You know, the second time it was a lot of water. So I don't know what time it was at the time, but I knew it was going to be very hard to clean that one.
I know this was a tough weekend for a lot of people. I don't know if there's anyone that could have won this race that would have been a better tribute to Kyle Busch than Daniel Suarez.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Doug. I think Kyle was a mentor to many of us. You know, I can mention Bubba Wallace, I can mention Eric Jones, myself, too many of us. But to me, you know, for Cal to give a hand to a kid coming from Mexico that can barely speak English, that should tell you who he is as a person, right? Because he knew he wasn't looking for anything as exchange. He was just helping a kid that needed some help. So that must tell you the kind of person that he was.
That's fantastic. Thanks for spending some time with us, sharing your stories. Congratulations. And you get a spiffy parking spot and a Coca-Cola vintage vending machine.
Thank you so much, amigo.
Daniel Suarez, the 2026 champion of the Coca-Cola 600.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack.
His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Nashville Super Speedway.
Start your engines.
It's the Cracker Barrel 400.
Green and white checkered flag is in the air. We've got William Byron, who will win stage number one.
Briscoe wants the lead from his teammate now as he'll dive to the bottom of the racetrack.
Carson Hosemar ducks to the inside now. Chase Briscoe goes to the high side. This is a battle for the top five.
The Cracker Barrel 400 from Nashville Super Speedway. Sunday, May 31st, 6 o'clock Eastern on PRN. The NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series heads to Music City.
Cruz got uprooted off the bottom of the racetrack. Sam Mayer's going to look to the inside.
It's the Sports Illustrated Resorts 250.
Sam Mayer now looking low at the start-finish line. Mayer's trying to take away that spot from Larson.
They were fighting over that real estate there with Justin Allgaier and Larson.
Jones trying to hold off Sheldon Creed. Brent Cruz is going to look to the outside.
The Sports Illustrated Resorts 250 from Nashville Super Speedway. Saturday, May 30th at 7 Eastern on PRN.
Fast Talk here on the Performance Racing Network as we record this show. It is Monday morning in the studios here at PRN. Coca-Cola 600 is over. Daniel Suarez was the winner, and a very long weekend in so many ways has come to a conclusion here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And Alexis, I've never felt this way that I do today. Even though I wasn't on the radio, I was around the track doing the public address this weekend, I'm emotionally drained in so many ways. And I'm so proud of the people from NASCAR and Charlotte Motor Speedway who had the delicate balancing act of recognizing what Memorial Day is all about and recognizing fallen soldiers and doing that well, but also paying a lot of attention and recognition to the legacy of Kyle Busch, and I don't know that they could have done it any better.
You know, I'm proud to work for Speedway Motorsports for a lot of reasons. This weekend exemplifies that. When you talk about just being thrown, you know, curveballs into something that is planned. I mean, when you think about the Coca-Cola 600 weekend, the planning starts for the 2027 Coca-Cola 600 weekend Tuesday morning.
Correct.
When everybody gets back from the holiday, and to have the weather that they had and to have all of the things that have happened this weekend that they, you know, had to rally around the community and everything. It just goes to show the professionalism of everybody involved. It's been very emotional. Yeah. But, you know, the way that I think about it is we as a community are going to heal over time. It's not going to happen quickly.
No, it's
going to happen over time. But this is a start, right? Telling stories about Kyle, talking about who he was as a person, seeing, you know, people that have affected him and that have been affected by him and Daniel Suarez get that emotional win. Those are the things that are going to help heal us as a community.
Next week on Fast Talk, we'll be back and we'll be talking about point standings and all of those other things and the results from Nashville Super Speedway. And it'll be a little bit more of what you're accustomed to here. This week, there was a lot going on, and we just felt like this was the kind of show that we needed to present to the public.
Absolutely.
We'll join you next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing.
Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.